I want you to turn with me. There are a lot of things on my mind, and we're going to. I thought that we might go over there before the service is over, but I thought to take a text from Hebrews, the last of Hebrews chapter 12 and begin with 13. But this is here in Ephesians chapter 4. It's a very kin scripture, and when we pull it down to reality, there are two things that the Word of God in paper and print and in the thought and the mind of Christ to us, that's also the Word of God, the extension or the expression of God Almighty, whom no man can see or ever has seen, but He has revealed Himself and is pleased Him to do so in the face of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And this Word tells us that He is the visible image of the invisible God. It also tells us that it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And another scripture says that in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I know many have interpreted that to mean a division of persons, but that's not what it means. All the authority, the Godhead, that you and I cannot comprehend. Why? Because He's a Spirit. And His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts that we can't go there. We claim to have gotten there, but we can't go there in our own intellect. No man, so this Word claims, it expresses, claims is a weak word, but it sets forth, proclaims, that no man, no man hath seen the Father at any time. John chapter 1, I believe it is. Maybe chapter 2, the words just now came to mind. But he said, no man hath seen the Father at any time, but His only begotten, the beloved Son, is in His bosom. And that don't mean He's laying there up against Him either, folks. The Almighty testified to David, a man like we are. He said he is a man after my own heart. Why? Because he was chosen to be the earthen line through which the Redeemer would come. Mm-hmm. And why was he after God's own heart? Because his delight was in the Lord. And the Lord is the heart. That's what it means when he says he's in the bosom. He is the heart of God.
Amen.
And so it has pleased the Father that we should bow the knee to Him and confess that He is Lord. Listen to me, saints. You have heard and you will hear. And I don't want to encourage you to be contentious because the wrath of man worketh not the will of God. So I don't encourage you to be contentious. I don't intend to be contentious. And I subscribe to the same religious philosophy at times in my life. But I was like that. I was geared up to, oh yeah, them sinners, they're going to get theirs. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to bow. They're going to stand before the judgment. I told you one time, if that's your mind and your heart, there's something wrong with your faith.
Mm-hmm.
If it's mine, there's something wrong with my faith. The Word of God is not, if there's a directive in it, it is not directed to dead alien sinners or those who are sinners by nature. God is not a fool. And it would be foolish for Him to put something forth that He said would not work. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither indeed can he. He said first, he said their foolishness to him. He said, neither indeed can he, because they are spiritually discerned. So there's two things that take place right there, saints, before we go casting that off onto the dead alien sinner. Of course, he can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because he's dead. He's dead in spirit. 1 and 2, when you and I are operating in the old carnal man, and the old in the flesh, as we say, Paul said to the Galatians, he said, walk after the Spirit or walk in the Spirit, and that's the new man, the new creation, the new creature in Christ. Walk in Him and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there is proof, positive, that you and I are affected by two personas. I got four. Two persons. I just know
both sides.
Yeah. We're affected by two personas. One is that old primal, carnal, sinful nature, and it's going to be with us till death is put to death. Praise God for the resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there is that new creature within us that we're called on to put Him on. And that don't mean go to the closet and get Him out and put Him on like suit of clothes. That means to put Him forth.
Right.
I think it's in the same letter. Paul says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. No, that's in Colossians, I believe. But anyway, he says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Now last week, we heard a wonderful, the Lord bless Brother Bill, and we heard a wonderful exhortation that we attend to these things from the standpoint that God has not called on us. And one of the most beautiful statements to me in the Word of God, well, they're all beautiful, one of them was brought out last Sunday, and that is, blessed be the Lord God who daily loadeth us with benefits. And so He has not called upon us to do anything that He has not already beforehand prepared us to attend to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if we become obstinate and say, no, I'm going to be Frank Sinatra and do it my way, Lord. Then He'll say, okay. But you know this. Light hath no communion with darkness, and everything about our carnal nature is black. I'm talking, I can't see your hand in front of your face, darkness. Everything about our primal existence as descendants of Adam is black. And light hath no communion with darkness. Everything about our primal nature is lying and murders and first one thing and another. All the evils. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. For out of the heart proceedeth all these evils. And He named a bunch of them off. And that was just a scant example. Because He said, from the heart of natural man proceedeth these things. Jeremiah said, the heart is evil above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? But while we are under the influence, whether it be in temptation or whether it be in obedience and blessing, we're going to go one way or the other. You're not going to straddle a happy medium. Uh-uh. No. See, here, that's what we want to think now. Even me and us here this morning. We want to think, well, I could kind of, reach over here just a little bit. No, we can't. What communion hath light with darkness? Or the temple of Christ with Belial? Or the temple of God with idols? When we take things Paul said, beware of covetousness, which is idolatry. When we covet things, whether it be in a seemingly light sense or whether it's full blown, I just got to have that, I want that so bad. And I'm not standing here judging you. I'm standing here sharing my experiences with you. And when it comes to where we desire what this life, this present temporal existence has to offer, and we begin to covet those things, then they become idols to us. And the temple of God, that is the coming together of the saints in a visible way and form to worship God, there's a spirit that is attached to that. And as Peter said, there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. That's Jesus Christ. Well, see, there is a spirit that is called the church. And there is no other way that we can visibly manifest and exercise ourselves in that except it be in the dictates of that spirit. And it's not grievous.
No.
It's not heavy.
No.
No. No, because He has put His Spirit within us, whereby if we attend to Him and we feed ourselves on these things instead of things on, I can't do it for you. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm not being mean. I have thought all along in my life that I'd go and I'd listen to the preacher and that'd be enough. It's not. Was it Paul that said that? I can't remember it right offhand. I remember the thought, but it was concerning manifesting a positive or an acceptable behavior, a separate, a holy behavior. Which holiness don't mean I'm better than everybody else. It means we're separate. That's what holiness means. I had a hard time when I'm struggling with sin, and Peter said, your Father has called on you to be holy because He's holy. I said, I'm in trouble. Because I was trying to define Him in a different way. And I was trying to define holiness with righteousness, which His righteousness is holy. But now, we can be holy or separate. His holiness means His separateness from creation. But now, having imputed His God Almighty's character into us by the work of Jesus Christ, then we have the capacity whereby we can, in work and practice, become holy. But beloved, I want to tell you this morning, you've got to crucify self. You've got to first, and it is in terms of, it's not imperative that in terms of you going to heaven, that rests in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. He took care of that. So don't worry about if somebody around you is going to heaven, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. And when you begin to grow in the Spirit, if you have those concerns, then they will begin to diminish. And it won't mean that you don't care about anything. But it means that you surrender yourself to know that there are things beyond your control. See, human beings don't like to think that things are beyond their control. We, especially our dear sisters. I'm not showing this. And it's good. Every woman with a mother instinct thinks she can fix everything. And I'm glad they do. I'm glad of that. But human beings don't like to think that there are things beyond their control. So it's necessary that you must understand yourself first. In Adam, you remember a few weeks ago I said there are two ends that matter. I don't know if I'm going to get to the Scripture or not, but I hope to. There are two ends that matter. One is in Adam, and the other is in Christ. Mm-hmm. They're the two most significant conditions where mankind is concerned. And as you did not put by your own efforts yourself in Adam, you were born in Adam. And some say the judgment of God is harsh because He judged me in Adam. Well, you were in Adam.
That's right.
You're His seed. You were in Him when He fell. And being in Him, we fell in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the only thing that can spring forth from a fallen creature is another fallen creature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, listen, saints, it's a doctrine of devils. I'm not. Keep it real, okay? Push out that contentious mind. All right? Be compassionate and understanding toward those who don't understand these things, because their mind gets into such desperate places. Some take their lives. Some think about taking their lives. Some look and see that everything is desperate and I'm full of despair. And if you don't feel those things, feel for those that do, because God has hedged you in.
Mm-hmm.
He has grown you. So get rid of this contentious mindset when I say that a person who thinks that they have had something to do with being born again, and they don't even consider. And I say, listen to me, I was there in a time in my life. I thought it. And then I thought something else, and I thought, well, that overrode that, and that put me into a fair state. But I was thinking the same thing. I was just using different words. So, the thought that one could do something to change their nature in and of themselves. Oh, I love Brother James Oliphant. He's dead and gone, but he's dead and gone before I was ever born. He wasn't a perfect man, but the Lord blessed me through blessing him to make a simple statement. Or ask a simple question, and that is, can a fish desire to be a bird?
Mm-hmm.
Even a natural man would say, well, that's ridiculous. The explanation is why? Because the fish is a fish by nature. It is outside of the scope of his nature to desire to be a bird. Now, some birds, while they're soaring in heavenly places, sometimes they get to desire to be like a fish, and they'll just take a head dive down into the muck and the murk. But I digress. When you are born, when you are conceived, pardon my boldness, but when the sperm cell comes into contact with a female egg, then cell multiplication begins to take place. He fertilizes that embryo, and cell multiplication begins to take place. And at that very moment, you're conceived in sin. You are a sinner. Satan has deceived religion, and he said, well, babes, you know, they're born innocent. And they reach a certain age, then sin takes over. They make a choice to sin and good. That's a doctrine of devils.
Mm-hmm.
This very word of God says by the man after God's own heart, he said, I was shapen in iniquity. And what that means is he was whirled like on a potter's wheel. And that is, you know, the potter, he has a thought for a pot. And he gets a lump of clay and he walks it down on his table. What David is saying, the very thought of me is shaping in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. So you and I, we come forth in Adam. And there's no getting out. And saying that, well, I didn't put myself in there. Then don't claim that you put yourself in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Psalm 2, I believe it is, Brother Bill, might be Psalm 1. Where the Father says to the Son, oh, go read Proverbs chapter 8. Go read it, please. Please. And he said, I was with him, one brought up. The Son testifies of the Father, and the Father testifies of the Son. I have called it his humanity. No, it wasn't his humanity. I'm going to shorten it to it was his manity or his manness.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man. He was not a human because the word human means dying man.
Right.
He was not there in a bodily presence. See, God don't need bodies. God doesn't deal with you and me in Christ Jesus according to this body. He deals with us in spirit, mm-hmm. by nature, and by mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he deals with us. So we don't need bodies, and I'm not proclaiming that Jesus was there in a physical body. He could take on himself, it's shown many times in the scripture, he could take a physical form upon himself, but he never came in the form of a servant in those times until his advent in Bethlehem. Then he came as a servant.
Yes.
But anyway, he said, I was with him, one brought up. I used to think that I relished the thought that God thought I was so special and He poured His love out on me. And He did. But I had it all wrong. And now I love to look at it in the proper way. Because the Lord's helped me to understand and He reminds me daily of what I am in Adam. If you knew where my mind goes, you'd get up and go out the door. And if I knew where your mind went, I'd say, I ain't talking to these people. I'm leaving. I can't help them. I can't do anything with them. But it reminds me what I am in and of myself. And so now it doesn't. And I know that that character cannot abide in His sight. You say, how does he let us live now? He's looking to resurrection.
Yeah, yeah.
He's looking to the finish. And He's given us a high priest and an intermediary in the interim until we get to that point. And we need Him. But back there, and he said, I was with Him, and if you take out the supplied words, one brought up. And I was daily His delight. You see, saints, the Father brought the Mediator, the man, Christ Jesus, into existence by the word of His power.
Yes, amen.
He said, I was daily His delight. Rejoicing in the habitable parts of His earth. And there's a lot of preaching in that. But He said, and my delights were with the sons of men. And beloved, let me tell you something. I got to say this, brother. His delight was not in me as a descendant of Adam. His delight was in me according to what He was going to work to bring me to. And He was man, and we are the sons of Him. Peter said, you're born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. You know why God loves you? In a nutshell, because He loved the Son. Mm-hmm. Let us put off our pride and our arrogance. I had a man who was I'm not being smart at it. It's the only way I know how to describe him. He was a professional Primitive Baptist. And there was a bunch of them. And I said that one night. It was on a Wednesday. He was here, and he accosted me in the parking lot. And he said, I don't know if I agree with that. I said, well, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But I said, you're going to have to show me how you're special. I thought the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It is. I thought God poured His love out upon mankind. He did. But it's not because mankind is special, because He asked the Son. He said, ask me, and I'll give you the heathen for an inheritance.
Amen. Amen.
And He didn't ask Him after His birth, death, and resurrection. He asked Him before all worlds.
Amen.
He said, ask me, and I'll give you. And a lot of people say that means the Gentiles. Well, it does. But it means of the twain, one man.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Because Paul said, we have fruit both before in sin, Jew and Gentile.
Clearly, yeah. Them all understand.
So, He loved me because He first loved the Son. And as by nature I was put in Adam, that's the only way I know how to say it. Then at that point, by Spirit, I was put in Christ, Brother Rob. I can't explain these things to you. If you want me to get out here and draw out sit down at a drafting table and draw out a schematic and show how that, I can't do it. And you can't either. But I know these things, first, because they're recorded in His Word, and second, He's given me faith. He's given me elemental faith, as I call it, whereby I can believe these things. And I can believe that while there was a time when I was concerned about those that I loved, I know it's beyond my scope now. Can you imagine if it was necessary for you to persuade someone you loved to be born again in order to go to heaven, and you could be together there? And we'll talk about that someday, and what I hope is truth and verity.
Yes.
Not today. But can you imagine the despair and the desperation if you went beyond your abilities, and you extended yourself and you exhausted yourself in attempting them, trying to convince them to change themselves to go to heaven, and then had the thought that they didn't, or knew that they didn't? Can you imagine the despair attached to that? And people don't think about that. Why? Because they have been bonded by the god of this world. I'm not talking about... Now, Satan is in the mix. But the god of this world is... And the world is not the whole terrestrial globe. Terraquis, as Brother Thompson said. That's not the world that's under consideration. The world is the world of religion.
Yes, sir.
The world of professed worship to God. But you see, there is a graven image of that world in terms of the visible manifestations of it. And the graven image of that is that man has the power within himself to change himself. As Brother Oliphant said, The only way a fish can desire to be a bird is if a power outside of him and greater than him changes him by nature. It does not lie within primal human nature to even desire. The Bible testifies of it. To desire godliness. No, the human nature wants to run from it, get away from it as far as you can. The carnal mind, the natural mind, is enmity against God. I told Brother Bill, my thought over the last couple of days was to hopefully present the beauty and the glory not only of the spirit of the church, but the experiential joy of when we come into accord with that spirit and we come together in the assembly of the saints, and not just on a one day a week basis, but hopefully when we leave here, each and every one of us will be able to take something with us whereby it will help us as we try to get through the next week. And my thought was to talk about not only that beauty, but the importance of it while we're here in the temporal. And to encourage us, as Paul said, while we look not at things that are temporal, but at the things that are eternal. For the temporal is going to pass away, but the things that are eternal will last forever. And the things that are eternal are not waiting for us to cross that river, as some say, or however you want to think about it, or to come from that grave. They're not waiting over there for us to claim them. They're ours now. We won't have the fullness of them until then, but there is more than enough to sustain us as we go through this life and to help us and to guide us. And that hymn Brother Rob requested, I hadn't heard that in a long time. And we've sang it here before. But beloved, Jesus is an ever-present friend to guide us. And how does He do that? Paul tells us again in that 2 Corinthians letter where he says the natural mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But he said, but these things are readily available to you. And I'm paraphrasing because he says at the end of that chapter, I believe it is, he says, but ye have the mind of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, I believe it is, he says that for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus had to be made sin because his nature was pure, because that is the nature that is imputed to us. He had to be made sin. That's why the Father couldn't look on him. That's why the sky went black. It was to show us that God the Spirit, by Spirit and in Spirit, could not look upon that one that was His beloved, that was dead in His life. Why? Because He had charged to Him the full weight of the sins of His people. He hath made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made. And here again, you can put this in. It doesn't say it in there in the letter, but it helps to add it in. That we who knew no righteousness might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Mm-hmm. He's not some new type of character or something. It is of old, the righteousness of God, the Spirit of God, character of God, that not the person of God, but the character of the very character of God Almighty that is imputed to you. It is put in your account. It is charged to you because of what He did. Because it pleased the Father to give you to Him way back there before the mountains were brought forth. Before the sea was formed and had its limitations. Long before anything. And He didn't do that on a whim. Now, I think I'll just go create some stuff today. Pardon my silliness. No, it's crafted by wisdom.
Yes.
Because he desired to make himself known. And here he was, self-existent. Dad used to say, you can go back to the point of creation, and once you get there, you can't go past that. So we can't comprehend. That's why the Scripture tells us, no man has seen God in him. No man has looked on him with the eyes. Man, we've not seen him in the intellect, in the understanding. Even the born again. So that's why it pleased him to show himself in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's not new. And the creation is not on a whim. He desired to make himself known to some creatures. So by the word of his power, he called forth the man, the mediator, the firstborn of every creature. He called him forth. Not born of a woman after the natural sense, but born of the Spirit. And so, likewise, as he is born of the Spirit, then by miraculous power, by the will and the purpose of God Almighty, you and I are called forth by the word of his power, a new spirit. His Spirit. And the purpose of that is twofold. I'm going to read you something. I've got a few minutes. I'm going to read you something. Mark this down. You don't have to turn. Amos, chapter 5. He's hard to find. Because we don't pay too much attention to the minor prophets. I'll give you a minute if you want to turn over to chapter 4. He's between Joel and I believe Obadiah. Yeah. He's between Joel and Obadiah. Now, mind you, what I'm going to read you here is it's contained in a proclamation by the prophet of certain unpleasantries that are about to come to God's people. Not to dead alien sinners, to God's people. And while he is showing these things under that old law world, he also manifests them in this dispensation. Some say, oh, I thought we were under grace. I thought we were under grace. You are. So, in a sense of obedience, the culpability is greater under grace than it is under law. We don't pay for it, but we still suffer for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know folks who say, oh, we're under grace, we won't suffer for sin, then then you got to go on and say, well, sin is non-existent in my life. And then John said, if you say that, you're a liar. And you make God a liar. And from a culpability standpoint, he says in Galatians chapter 5, through a grace church apostle to the Gentiles, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he soweth to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's not going to hell. That is maintaining and enjoying the knowledge that God is who he is, and that he has created us according to his purpose, and he has created us anew in the image of Jesus Christ to be realized in the fullness of time and the resurrection. But until such time, as I said, the two influences are on us. And like the old Indian said, he says they got two dogs fighting inside me, laughing and white, and somebody said, which one win? And he said, the one that'll feed the most. So it's the same with you and me. The Spirit within us, the influential spirits that are with us, the one you feed the most is the one that's going to have the preeminence in your experience. But there's mercy. Because before he said that, be not deceived, God is not mocked, he said, if a man be taken in a fault. Now this is this is cursed by professing Christianity. This precept, this precious precept of the mercy of God is cursed. And I know they don't get out and say it directly against it, but in the thought, in the philosophy, in the religious philosophy, the precept of mercy that Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 5 or chapter 6 is cursed by religious philosophy. Why? Because religious professionals say, I could never do that. I would. No, they don't say. They say, I would never do that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a dangerous place to be. Mm-hmm. What a dangerous place to be in your mind. I'm not capable of that. Then you just call Jesus Christ a liar. Mm-hmm. If God takes His hedge down, you don't know what you might do. So He said, the Apostle said, here again, do we sin or do we not sin? Do we fall off into disobedience or into cursing? Moses said that the Almighty spoke through Moses, and He said, I set before you this day blessing and cursing. That's not eternal. That's a time thing. Nothing can touch that standing of yours with God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can touch that. But there's all kinds of things can affect the joy that can come with that. So He says, if a man be taken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, listen to this, ye who are spiritual, are you spiritual saints? Now, it don't count if you're just counting misdemeanor sinners, as I've said before. No, Paul don't have stop sign runners in mind here. No, he's got vile actions in mind here. Yeah. Yeah. And while I'm there, let me say this. And this ought to be a shame to the church. And when I say that, I mean the visible representation of the church. And I'm going to stand by this. And you can come to the house and we'll put on a pot of coffee and talk about it all night if you want to. But if you carry gossip about a brother or sister in the church or otherwise, if you carry gossip place to place, that is railing on them, you have done them more harm spiritually than if you would to take a gun and shoot them. I'll stand behind it, by that. So you think about that. See, we like to take those things. We like to take those things and make us a nice, neat list and say, well, this is the worst, and this is the worst, and this is the worst. Go over to Proverbs again. I think it's in chapter 6. And look at the seven things that God hates. Murder and adultery and fornication, none of those things are in there. Drunkenness, none of those things are in there. Pride and arrogance, stout and haughty heart, and sore of contention. That's a few of them. But anyway, are you over in Amos chapter 4? So, God, the Holy Ghost has moved the prophet to speak to the children of Israel. And He says in verse 12, therefore this will I do unto thee. And you can go back later next week and read through that. But He said, therefore this will I do unto thee. But I want to bring something to your attention and put a... I'm not contradicting the Scripture, but I want to bring something to your contention, to your attention that would be of a positive and a blessed nature in view of what I've tried to bring to you this morning. He says, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, and this sign, Lord, from a kid up, I've seen this sign on the sides of the road, prepare to meet thy God. And beloved, you better prepare every day of your life to meet thy God. Not in the sense that you're going to die and maybe go to heaven or hell, but where He is, He's put His Spirit in us. And from time to time, He comes to take inventory. Remember the servants that Jesus talked about? Watch the pearls. It's types and shadows. Illustrations. But He says, prepare to meet thy God. You see, here's the problem. Here's the problem with us in modern Christianity, Primitive Baptist included, we don't fear God. So we don't dread to meet Him. Amen?
Yeah.
We don't fear Him. No. That's why we go about with these tongues wagging and these thoughts raging in our mind and our soul getting turned upside down. And we hate our brother rather than love him. And I don't mean to say, it's not saying that we need to excuse everything he does. No. 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 Sometimes you have to whisper off. But that don't mean you have to stop loving. And it's not puppy, warm, fuzzy love that we're talking about either. No. It's pure and undefiled. Why? Because we have the character, the Spirit of God within us, and we're able to do it. But we're not afraid of it. So when we say prepare to meet that God, oh yeah, that means them people of yonder. For lo, listen to this. He's giving a little bit of a description of who God is. He says, for lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought. I've read that time and time again. I'd say, well, he declares my thoughts to me. He brings them to my attention. But, beloved, that's not what he's talking about right here. He's giving a description of the Almighty. The one that Paul writes to Timothy and said, he says concerning the Lord Jesus, who only hath life and immortality, abiding in the light which no man can approach unto him. That light is God Almighty. That's the presence of God Almighty that he is abiding in. John said, as I referred to earlier, no man has seen God at any time, but the beloved Son, he is in his bosom. But here, Amos is ramping this up. And he said, listen to me, saints. Listen to me. You think that you're out here going about your own business, doing your own thing, you know, over in Judges. You read over in the beginning of Judges in those days that there was no ruler in Israel and every man did that which was right in his own sight. And Amos has laid an axe to the root of that tree. And he says, you think you're the chosen people of God. And you think that you just flutter around here and do whatever you please and fall, as the Apostle James said, serve it upon your own lust. You think you're going to do that and there's not going to be an answer? But here's the thing that we should be considering, Amos is saying. Here's the thing that you should be considering. God has put His Spirit in you and He declares His thoughts to you. Wake up, saints. Pray that I'll wake up. Blessed be the Lord. For He daily loadeth us with benefits. When something gnaws at your conscience, it's a pretty good sign that the Lord is in there declaring His thoughts to you, spirit to spirit. Why? Because His character's in you. He's declaring His thoughts unto you. Wake up, saints. He doesn't declare His thoughts to fallen people. He declares His thoughts to those whom He has loved and raised up and formed. And when we come together, as we are this morning, that ought to be at the forefront in our mind. You know, in days of old, under the law, that there were certain ones who they fixed this these things they call frontlets, and they would affix them on a headdress, and they would be constantly before their eyes. Now they went off and perverted all that, and quite frankly, I'm persuaded that when you read about the mark of the 666, which is the number of man, and they carry them on their hands, and when you read that, then that 666 is not, it won't, it's not going to bring all kinds of bad luck to you. It's the number of man. And many of God's people
how unknowingly marked their forehead and their hand with the number of men. You see, the reason for the frontlet was to remind them of the thoughts and the purpose of God in various ways. But you see, what we've done, we have imprinted our own mark, and I believe that's representative of the thoughts. Hey, I don't believe you're going to see people going around with tattoos on their head or in their hand. Thoughts of the mind, works of the hands. Look at the fervor that's stirring now. And Christians are caught up in it. Professing Christians are caught up in it. Oh, we got a man going to come say, he's got a man. He's all we need. He's all we need. I'm neither yay or nay. I don't trust Donald Trump as far as I can throw this building. And you multiply that by 10,000. And I don't trust Joe Biden that much. First, because he's a sick, demented old man. And secondly, because there are men behind the scenes that are using the poor old demented old soul to guide him and get their way. And so they can blame him. I feel sorry for him in a whole lot of ways. But even before he got to that state, his thoughts were desperately wicked. As are politicians. Why do they want to be politicians? I'm not getting on politics. I'm telling you, wake up, open your eyes. Why do they desire those offices? Because they want to feel that power over other people. That's the thing that man desires most. But you and I have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, saints, and the Almighty that formed the earth and all creation. He declares His thoughts into us. Get us on, Dan. And we say, no. We'll not have this rule over us. Think about it. I'm confessing my soul to you this morning. You confess your soul to your own self. You can keep confessing it to your own life, Dan. No way. I'm not meaning that judgmental. I'm just saying that's the truth of it. I meant to say before the service, or before we started, that whether Brother Bill knows where I'm coming from, so many times we forget to publish an open door to the church. But there's always an open door to this church, anyone desiring a home with us. And we'll receive you according to the dictates of the gospel, and we'll receive you on your faithfulness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not His little boy, but He is the outgoing manifestation of God Almighty. That's what Son means. That's what it means. That's why firstborn was important, because He was a continuation of the Father. The doors of this church are always open. And if you would like to make a home with us, make your wishes known while we sing in fellowship, it's hymn
25.
Number 25. And maybe next Sunday we'll get to Ephesians chapter 4. Maybe.